WKNR presents
the Keter13.com podcast.
Welcome to the Keter 13 podcast. I'm Scott Westerman from Keener13.com, and on this week's show, another Keener Hot Licks music quiz, and we contemplate the demise of WCBS-FM in New York. All that and more on this week's Keener Podcast.
Motor City Music.
Well, it's one of those weeks when it seems like everything is upside down. And as formats change and doors revolve, perhaps Joe Cocker's 1972 WKNR hit says it all.
Seems I've got to have a chance to sing. Every night I have a strangest dream. Impressing by the way that could have been. Left you on my own arm. So it seems I've got to leave before I start to scream. Pour some light the door and took the key.
You feeling alright?
I'm not feeling too good myself.
Cocker made it as high as number 16 in the winter of 72, feeling all right, even in a world that was spinning out of control. A little later, we'll try and make some sense out of the demise of WCBS-FM. But first, it's time again for the Keener 13 Hot Licks Music Quiz, where we give you a slice of three WKNR hits, and you try to name that Keener tune. So turn up those iPods, and let's head back to the 60s for Hot Lick number one.
WKNR.
That's a WKNR one-shot from June of 1971. Think you have it? Let's move on to hot lick number two.
KNR!
One for you advanced Keener fans. That one is the second of two WKNR hits for a pop sextet from 69. And here's hot lick number three.
Our world is empty without you. Keep hanging on to WKNR. Keener 13, it's fun!
Three Keener hits by three different groups to stretch your musical memory. How do you think you did? Well, here's the answer to hot lick number one.
WKNR.
According to the All Music Guide, C-Train was formed from the ashes of the Blues Project when its two surviving members moved from New York to L.A. And this week in 1971, 13 questions held down the 13th spot on the Keener 13 Music Guide.
Deep in the darkest hour of a very heavy week, three Earthmen did confront me, and I could hardly speak. Tired and sore, and when I'm fit for wishing, I hope they'll come no more. When I'm wishing, I hope they'll come no more. Standing by the exit with one eye on the door, I listen to them argue, I ask them why. They threw me 13 questions, each one an endless hole. 13 questions, each an endless hole.
Did you see the moon last night? Hung like a Chinese ball. You should have seen the moon last night at the party from a star.
C-Train had just one WKNR hit, and it's the answer to our first Keener Music Quiz question. And now, on to hot lick number two from a Chicago-based band called the New Colony Six.
KNR!
Oh,
The New Colony 6 had two Keener hits, and Things I'd Like to Say was the second. You probably noticed that we're playing the entire songs on this week's music quiz. We've received email from many of you asking us to do just that, and your wish is our command. The final Keener Hot Lick comes from a reconstituted Supremes, trying to hang on to the hits after the departure of Diana Ross. You don't hear this one very often, but Up the Ladder to the Roof is one of my favorites.
WKNR!
We shall run across the sky and illuminate the night.
The Supremes with Up the Ladder to the Roof, Hot Lick number 3 on this week's Keener Music Quiz. Send us your quiz suggestions, requests, or anything else that might be on your mind by clicking the contact link at www.keener13.com.
WKNR, Motor City Memory.
Well, as we said at the top of the show, this was one of those weeks when you could actually feel a page in radio history turning. We'll talk a bit about what the demise of WCBS-FM means in a minute, but I thought you'd enjoy hearing the very last song that was played as the station faded into the New York sunset.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me. All summer long we sang a song, and then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind, like painted kites. Those days and nights, they went flying by. The world was
was new beneath a blue umbrella sky. Then softer than a piper man, one day it called to you. I lost you to the summer wind. The autumn wind and the winter winds, they have come and gone. And still the days, those lonely days, they go on and on. And guess who sighs his lullabies through nights that never end? My fickle friend, the summer wind. The summer wind, warm summer wind.
On June 3rd at precisely 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Summer Wind by Frank Sinatra faded out, and with it, the oldies legacy at WCBS-FM. Earlier that day, a party was held to celebrate the success that former monkey Mickey Dolenz was having at the helm of the WCBS-FM morning show. But almost as soon as the ice had melted in the water glasses, the air staff was called into a meeting and told that the station was changing formats and they would all be out of jobs. This is the way that it's done in radio. The typical format switch is kept secret until the last moment. The old DJs are all fired and the new format is launched, usually with just the music, without jocks and commercials. Slowly, the new puzzle pieces are put into place and the reconstituted station tries to make its mark. If you look at recent history, the oldies format has definitely lost favor with the large companies that control most of what we hear on the radio. The two new formats that are on the rise focus on the Hispanic market and a hodgepodge of music that programmers are calling Jack. When you listen to Jack, you're likely to hear Elton John one minute and the Beastie Boys the next. It's targeted directly at the younger listeners who are leaving radio in droves for their iPods and MP3s. According to Les Hollander, Senior Vice President for Infinity Broadcasting, the company that cratered WCBS-FM and its Chicago sister station WJMK, research has shown that people are looking for a radio station in their market with less repetition and more variety. Well, that's no surprise. The tight playlists that Cousin Brucey and others were allowed to play on WCBS-FM were distilled to the point of nausea, and even some of the station's most diehard fans were tuning to Sirius and XM satellite radio to get a more eclectic oldies fix. But the WCBS-FM story goes much deeper than the soundbite that oldies are a thing of the past. It begins at the dawn of the Top 40 age, when Gordon McClendon and Todd Storrs figured out that a playlist of familiar music, entertaining announcers, and bright jingles could attract television viewers back to their radios. Top 40 was born amidst a flurry of innovation that happened as the long-form programs of radio's golden age migrated to TV. Programmers figured out that listeners wanted a relationship with their radio stations. They wanted to be entertained and informed, but moreover, they wanted to participate. A relationship is a very personal two-way street. Anyone who has been married for any length of time knows that a relationship also evolves as both people grow. But the foundation is commitment. For a relationship to work, you must believe that the other person still cares about you. As long as that happens, both sides continue to enjoy all the good things that come with the arrangement. The WKNR story is a microcosm of what's happened to radio over the last 40 years. In the beginning, Nellie Knorr hired an exceptional team of artists who worked hard to connect with the Detroit radio audience. In fact, much of the format direction that programmer Mike Joseph was paid to develop was thrown out as the team got the feel for what the audience wanted. For a time, WKNR did everything first class, and it was all based on the constant feedback that came over the hit lines, at the public appearances, and from the advertisers, including the likes of Henry Ford II, who was one of Keener's biggest fans. But then, something changed. The leadership thought that it was okay to add a few more commercials. And by 1967, almost one-third of WKNR's airtime was devoted to advertising. At the same time, Bill Drake and Paul Drew put their own interpretation of the WKNR magic to work across the river at CKLW with 50,000 watts behind it. As Keener's ratings suffered, the station decided to stop listening to the local people who were in touch with the audience and to bring in a consultant to fix the problem. Part of the solution was to jettison the very talent that had been responsible for the station's success. Sound familiar? Well, along the way, the consultants have become more and more sophisticated. Stations now use focus groups to test music, playing small snippets of songs to see if listeners like them. Naturally, people gravitate to familiar music, and over time, oldies playlists have been distilled and distilled until all we hear are My Girl, Louie Louie, and Pretty Woman. Another thing that's happened is that the announcer has been replaced almost entirely by automation. It's true that we still hear human voices, but they all speak carefully crafted sentences that pound a brand message into the numbed minds of a dwindling listenership. Why has all of this happened? It's true that most radio stations in our country are now owned by a publicly traded company. Public companies have one overarching objective, to increase shareholder value, and the key metric is cash flow. In the days when the majority of big companies on the New York Stock Exchange were tied to manufacturing, the mantra was scale and efficiency. Find ways to create more of the same products at a lower price than your competition, and your cash flow increases along with your share price. That's why accountants and not broadcasters run the large broadcasting conglomerates today. That's why station promotion budgets have been slashed to the bone. That's why you're not likely to find a live announcer on a local station outside of drive time. And that's why every major market has their mix, their kiss, and now their jack. They may pay lip service to innovation, but in fact, the opposite is true. Break the rules at your peril. And that's why the popularity of iPods and MP3s are skyrocketing while linear broadcasting is lost in a dysfunctional morass. The bottom line is this. Radio is an art. It's not a science. The people who created great radio stations we loved in the 60s and 70s were groups of artists, encouraged by design or by accident, to create an ever-evolving and intensely personal relationship with an audience of one. During my days as a struggling DJ at WVIC in Lansing, Michigan, my friend and mentor, Steve Schramm, told me to always remember that I was talking to one person. And how effectively I related to that one person would determine the extent of my success. 25 years later, Steve would personify that philosophy when he sat before the microphone on a network of Clear Channel's Detroit radio stations to try and help the audience make sense of the horrific events of September 11th, 2001. To put radio's decline in perspective, what radio personality might you turn to if something similar happened today? A fundamental question that we who love this medium continually ask ourselves is, can radio be saved? I think so, but it will take time, and it will require a realization that stationality is much more than just music. We must develop a new generation of artists who spend at least 1 hour in preparation for every hour they are on the air. We must empower music directors to take chances on local bands and music that stretches the horizons of our target audiences. Remember that Bob Seger, Alice Cooper, and yes, even Elton John gained visibility thanks to a music director who liked what they heard and took a chance. We must encourage what WKNR's Bob Green calls intelligent flexibility and give the air staff, production staff, and promotional artists the leeway to take responsible risks while celebrating flawless execution of a sound that is relevant, compelling, and entertaining. To paraphrase Tip O'Neill, all radio is local, and we must remember that it's not a relationship with a Wall Street analyst. It's an ever-evolving love affair with the listener. Bob Green put it best, radio is about making money, not saving money. And in the iPod generation, radio is not just about the music, it's about what's in between. Radio owners would do well to read the outstanding Jim Collins book, Good to Great. All of the principles he talks about parallel exactly with my prescription. Get the right people on the bus and keep them there. Listen to your team and decide what truly constitutes success. And focus. Create your dynasty slowly, carefully, and well, so it's built to last. The words of the Book of Ecclesiastes are as true today as they were that April morning in 1972 when WKNR faded into history. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. But the fundamental truths that make great radio still resonate. And we can still make great radio if we have the courage to follow them.
Season, turn, 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 and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace, a time you may embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. Season, turn, 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 and a time.